Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? Think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
There's always critics. There's always people that will celebrate a man's fall. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll take it on the chin.
He went into almost autopilot mode with the shots. His face was bust up, and I went into panic mode. There was just a shift of energy, and he capitalized on it.
I knew the whole time when I said from my last fight that I would beat that guy.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, we talked a lot about talked a little bit about Peyton Manning, a little bit about these Brock Osweiler possibilities, talked a little bit about 290 Woman. She dominated the conversation. And that poor truck. A little bit of everything. So if you missed it, all available on podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. But we have not talked about the fights yet, and I kind of wanted to save a little bit. I want to save that for the 5 o'clock hour because I wanted to give it a little room because, first off, I want to get your thoughts, and I have a couple questions for you. But I have to say, the Blitzers owe you a thank you because you gave them both Tate and Diaz to win. I bet Diaz, and then I had a small parlay with Tate just on your advice. So it was a good weekend for me.
Good for you, man. Yeah, it was good for me as well. I had 6 bets on the card. 5 of them were on underdogs, and I won all 6. So it was a good card. I mean, you have good ones and bad ones, and I'm not going to get too crazy about it. But there was some big dogs that came through, including obviously the two main events, or the main event and the co-main event with Nate Diaz and then Miesha Tate. As far as McGregor, I mean, he's right. What he's saying is right. You know, if you play this game long enough, everybody loses. And this isn't to say that McGregor is not a good fighter. He clearly is. He's beat some really good guys in there. But I think what happened is he underestimated how big of a difference fighting at 145 and 170 is. And he landed some big shots on Nate. And if he lands shots like that against a 145-pound man, they're probably going to go down. But that's the thing, is when you're a 145-pound guy who's hitting 170-pound guys, they have a different reaction to those strikes. And Nate Diaz is a tough dude. He got busted open early, although he gets busted open almost every fight. He's got a lot of scar tissue around his eyes, stuff like that, so he cuts pretty easy. But he never panics. He doesn't worry when he bleeds. He doesn't worry when he's down. He just does what he does. And he kept pushing the pace. And you could see that McGregor got tired. McGregor didn't throw jabs. He threw violent, heavy shots the entire first round and when he was throwing them in the second. And he gassed out. And Nate, who had the short fight camp, but is always in shape because he's always training for triathlons. And even when he's not in camp, he still trains every day. He's one of those guys. He doesn't have any hobbies besides training and smoking weed.
Good hobbies.
Yeah. But he was in better shape, and McGregor didn't take into consideration carrying around 20 something more pounds than he normally does and how his body was going to react to that. And, you know, I think it just caught up to him. So I give Conor a lot of credit, though, for not being a big crybaby, and I called it not Cam Newtoning, because he had every opportunity to do so. I mean, this is the biggest peacock out there, and when his chest was puffed out for so long, and when he got beat, instead of being a crybaby about it, he just accepted that this has happened. This happens, and he's going to take it. He's going to take it and try to learn from it and try to get better from it. I give him a lot of credit for that, because he could have been quiet. He could have sulked and hidden, but he took it like a champ. I give him kudos for that. But Nate Diaz, fantastic performance, gutsy performance.
I'll ask you this, because Darren Revelle tweeted out after the results of both fights that, you know, the results cost Dana White millions.
Oh, I'm sure.
And in that, obviously, the home Rousey rematch is now probably not happening. McGregor made, I think, $1 million for that fight, yep, which is the first time
$1 million purse.
But I'm going to disagree respectfully with Darren Revelle, and you can correct me, but I think people who bought that pay-per-view saw two damn good fights and fighters they want to see fight again. And I think it's so much better than paying $100 for Mayweather-Pacquiao and saying,
what did Darren Revelle say?
Just that those results would cost Dana White millions of dollars. I don't think that's the case at all. I think the next time Conor McGregor fights, it's going to be another great pay-per-view event.
I do too. I do think that a little bit of the luster's off the guy. I mean, well, and Holly Holm, she was undefeated. She was the Rousey killer, and now she lost. And now a fight between Rousey and Miesha Tate has to happen, which we've already seen. So you don't get the big payday for Rousey home too. I mean, at least maybe you do later.
I think
don't right now.
People will still want to see. They want to see how Rousey bounces back. So that fight will be big, and probably then you might get it.
I don't know if it's as big as it could have been.
No, but you might then at that point, if she wins again, is she back? Maybe you get the rematch at some point. I think, and plus, you're getting Bones Jones back here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think it's not optimal to have your cash cows lose like that, but I still think the interest is going to be there. And more importantly, if you're a casual fan who just bought that fight, you weren't disappointed in those fights.
No, those were
good fights, man. And
dude, if that pay-per-view happened again in a month, which obviously it can't, but if it happened again in a month, I'd buy it again, you know, because I think it's intriguing matchups. I do think that the game plan for McGregor changes greatly now, and Dana realizes that he probably got a little bit greedy with this one.
Yeah.
And he should have made a fight happen at 155 or just scrapped the fight altogether, but he wanted to push it through. And I here's the other thing. They had opportunities to have guys fight at 155. I think McGregor did it, and I think Dana White did too. I think they overlooked what Diaz could do, and they probably thought, well, this guy's not, he's one of the lesser fighters that offered to step up and fight. You know, he's probably not as dangerous as somebody like Cerrone might be, but I think stylistically maybe he was. And I also think the fact that Diaz insisted on fighting at 170, he said, I'd rather take a guy who is probably a little out of shape at 170 than a guy like Cerrone who's just come off a full fight camp and had a quick fight in his last fight at 155. It's probably safer to take him. That's the choice they made, and obviously it didn't pay off. But I also think they had big plans for UFC 200 with McGregor.
Right.
I think they wanted him, if he won, I think he probably would have ended up fighting either Robbie Lawler, or they would have tried to get GSP to come back and fight him. And if you can make a fight like that, I mean, that's, you're talking about Conor McGregor versus GSP would sell more pay-per-views than any fight that's ever happened. Not going to happen now. He's probably going back to 155 would be my guess. There's talk of going back to 145. I don't think he'll ever be back at 145. I think that the change that he made in his body for this fight is too great to make it back to 45, but he's proven me wrong plenty of times before, so he may again, but I don't think he can by UFC 200. But even now, do you think that a Rafael Dos Anjos fight is as intriguing with Conor McGregor as it would have been before? Or would you rather see Dos Anjos fight Nate Diaz? I don't know.
I still think I'd rather see McGregor, just because he's still that star. Even with the loss, I still think he's... Yeah, I think most people recognize it, trying to fight at 170 and all the changes. I think he's going to come back. I'll pay to see him fight again. Yeah. I really will. And And 713 texts in, I'm the casual fan, and I woke up Sunday more excited about UFC. I think all this does is it creates more stars. And now, you know, Misha Tate's going to be a bigger star than she was. I don't think it's going to cost them millions. I still think people, if you watch those fights and you paid for them, I guarantee you weren't disappointed.
No.
And you would want to pay for those fights again. Now, you're always, there's going to be cards that you buy that you think are going to be great, and they turn out to be dogs. That happens all the time. But in this case, I thought it was a hell of a show. And you know what? I'd pay to see those guys fight again. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's grab some phone calls. Raymond, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports, guys.
Sports, Raymond.
Hey, it's kind of a two-part question. Basically, is how similar is the Brock Osweiler situation to what Brian Hoyer was last year? Because Brian Hoyer, he made a really bad Browns team look pretty good, and then the Broncos, a really good Broncos team, made Brock Osweiler look good. I mean, how similar do you think the two are going to be in terms of, you know, how the risk-reward factor on that? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Well, it's hard to say, but, I mean, I think we – Brian Hoyer was a guy that they kind of knew what his upside, what his peak was. I think, Brian, with Osweiler, you're talking about a guy who's younger, who's got more in the tank. It is a pretty highly regarded prospect to begin with. I think maybe they feel they can get more out of him, and I think that makes perfect sense. Brian Hoyer's a journeyman.
Brock
Osweiler is not that.
Well, and if he is, at least you're taking a shot at a long-term solution at the position, which is
something we knew Brian Hoyer was never going
right,
to be.
Or Ryan Fitzpatrick or any of those guys. And you've got to get out of that endless cycle of bringing in those kind of guys. 713-780-ESPN. Michael says those two fights were good, but the rest of the card was terrible. To be honest with you, I only bought it for those two fights. I didn't really pay much attention to the rest of the card.
Yeah, I wasn't high on the rest of the card myself.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
There were some decent cards on the prelims, or decent fights on the prelim card, but the main card, there were some pretty bad fights.
Yeah, I to be
but
honest...
But it didn't matter, because they were all forgotten to me after those last two fights.
Right.
I didn't even think about those other fights, other than the fact that I won some money on Aleer Latifi.
Well, I was at the racetrack Saturday night for our camel race, so I didn't get home in time for the whole card. Oh. I got home in time for the last two fights, so I bought it and watched those two, and it was well worth every penny just for those two fights. So, and by the way, Raheel Camzanali did not win, but it was It kind of got messed up because we all picked our camels when they came on the track. Well, I took the biggest camel, right? The number one camel was, I tweeted out a picture of him. He's huge. I made a mistake, though, because I didn't realize that if you get the biggest camel, you also get the biggest jockey. Oh. So we had a really big jockey.
How big?
Pretty big. I mean, he looked bigger than what he probably was.
What was his ethnicity?
I'm not really sure. Big. Not like 290 lady big.
Okay.
But he was a big guy.
You weren't really sure of his ethnicity?
I couldn't really tell because he had a helmet on and stuff.
You didn't get to meet him?
No, they just put him on the...
Oh, that's BS.
Yeah, I
would have wanted to talk to the jockey.
I picked camel number one, and everybody picked their camels. And we all walked alongside the camels on the track, so I was next to camel number one. Somehow it got miscommunicated to the track announcer which camel was which, so he had them all mixed up. And so we just decided, look, whichever one he calls, that'll be the winner. Doesn't matter. And so that Christina Ramey from 104, it wasn't really her camel, but her camel wound up winning because that's what he called.
Christina Ramey?
Yeah, she's like a new person there.
Oh,
she's actually pretty cool.
I didn't know her when we were there.
Yeah, she's only been there like 7 months. And,
okay.
And anyway, so the camel I picked ran second. The camel they called, Raheel Camzanali, finished last. So... regardless, Raheel did not win, but Christina's camel that he called won, so she gets $500 for Crime Stoppers. So it was fun.
Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, she gave her money to Crime Stoppers.
Who's trying to stop crime?
That's a good thing.
Crime's needed. Well, we got to have jobs for policemen.
Well. Maybe we could let them have jobs without having to get involved in crime as much. That wouldn't be a bad thing. Jeez.
Fine.
So anyhow, it was a lot of fun. She was great, and all the people at the track were great. We had fun with it, and I'm sorry that Raheel didn't win, but you know what? I'll do it again next year.
All right.
And hopefully I've learned a valuable lesson. I've learned that the little camels are the fastest. So next year when I pick a camel, I'm picking a little one. 512 asking for House of Cards talk. I have not seen season 4, and everybody tells me it's really good, but season 3 was so god-awful. There is no way in hell that I was going to watch season 4. And I just don't see any reason, even if it was good, I just have zero interest in it. So, sorry. I'm sure you'll get to it at some point, and you can tell the people about it. But once I'm out on a show, I'm out on it. Anyway, we'll get to that. But you know what my jockey should have done? You know what 290 woman should have done?
What's
called quick weight loss.
Oh, good call.
Because, look, we've seen all of her, right? We've seen that she needs some help.
More than enough.
And the great thing about quick weight loss, you can lose up to 100 pounds or more, which I'm going to say she probably needs to do. And it's fast. It's easy. It costs less. They've been helping people for 28 years now. They've helped me. They helped Sean Salisbury. Now they're helping Mike Liebeschock. I mean, they're doing a really good job of helping people get weight off and learn how to keep it off and live a healthier, happier lifestyle. And if you're one of those people, you just don't like the way you look, guess what? They can fix it for you. And you know what? It's just such a great program because there's no exercise required. There's no prepackaged meals. You're eating real restaurant food, and you're going to get the weight off. And then once you get the weight off, you're going to learn how to keep it off so that you don't ever find yourself in that situation again. And you know what? Great deal. 6 weeks for $66. All weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. You get a free no-obligation consultation. No conditions apply to that. Visit one of their 15 Houston area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com. Or better yet, give them a call. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
Your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
We were riding underneath the sun. We were shaking from the things we'd done. We were breaking every pattern, straying from the...
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. John said he was at the track Saturday night with the family. When we saw the big dude get on camel number one, we knew he was definitely out of the running. He did break well, and it looked for a second like he was going to get there, but no. Jordan says, House of Cards season 3 was the worst of the show, but season 4 is probably the best yet. A lot of people I respect keep trying to tell me to watch it. I'll tell you why I'm out on it. And the same thing that happened with Walking Dead. When I get where I hate every single character, then I have no use for the show.
Yeah.
There needs to be somebody that I like. And by the end of it, I was so sick of both him and his stupid wife that I could not watch anymore, and I will not watch anymore. I mean, if they both die and you get new characters in there, great. If that's what happened, fine, I'll watch it. But otherwise, I got no interest. And, I mean, that's just how I've always been. When I lose interest in the characters, that's what gets me into a show. That's what happened with Walking Dead. At one point, I was like, please, zombies, eat all of them. There's not a single one I like anymore. And that's why I won't watch it. So,
what pisses me off about The Walking Dead now is, like, they did a thing last night where they went into this place and they killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And there was a big fight. John, have you watched it already?
Was there a new one yesterday?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
All right, turn down your monitor for a second. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Don't drop an F-bomb.
But so there's this big fight that goes down. None of the characters got killed. Like, none of Rick's crew, none of those guys got killed. It just seems like at some point, I mean, they used to be all about you lose random guys. It could always happen. And now it's the guys never die. The main characters never die anymore. I need that in this show. And the other thing is, they're acting like Glenn had never killed anybody before last night. Glenn killed somebody last night?
Yeah.
And they were making it seem like it was his first time ever killing somebody. Am I mistaken? Like, hasn't Glenn been, like, I'm Rick's sure, kind of right-hand man.
Yeah, I'm sure he's killed somebody. I don't know. I've been out for a year and a half, so hard for me to say.
Ian asked if we watch Better Call Saul. Fantastic.
That show is so good. And it's getting so better good. And better. Right now I'm on that. I'm on Vinyl.
I am too. I watched that. That was a good episode. Vikings. If you're not watching Vikings, I feel you're missing out.
Yeah, fantastic. I still have the entire thing on my DVD, but I mean, I'm on my DVR, but I haven't watched it yet. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's funny, a lot of people I respect on Twitter were trying to get me to watch, and I'm just like, no. And it's like Lamont and Dustin and Blair, all these people who tweet the show all the time, and I respect their opinions, and I'm just like, no, you're not going to get me in. I can't use the analogy I used with a couple of them because we're on air, but let's grab a phone call. Let's try Brian. Brian, what is up, sir?
Hey, guys.
Sports.
I wanted to ask you guys about the about Scott Tolzien for the Packers.
All right.
I mean, he seems like a guy who's not going to have a big cap hit. And, you know, that might be a guy that's, you know, the Packers are probably not going to re-sign because they've got Brett Hundley. And I would think that'd be like a good camp arm to bring in and take a look at. Do you think by the Matt Flynn thing?
Maybe so. I mean, there's just not – I don't know how much – the guy's – I mean, he played a little while back in, what, 3-4 years ago. He played a couple – maybe a game. Maybe it was just a game – or 3 games he played. But he's – I mean, this is I've never seen anything out of the guy to make me think anything good of him. And those 3 games, 61% passer, 1 touchdown, 5 interceptions.
Yeah, that's –
I'm not even – I mean, maybe somebody gives him a look in a camp, but I don't think that's not the answer.
That's a backup quarterback is what that is. And
if that.
Now, would I be interested in Brett Hundley? Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if he sucks or not yet.
But you'd have to pay for that. That's another guy like Garoppolo, like Osweiler. Those are guys I like coming out of college. And now they've been in the NFL a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think names like Tolzien are what the Texans need to be looking for, because it's not going to solve your problem. That's just going to be another Whedon, Hoyer, fill in the blank, TJ Yates kind of guy. You need somebody who's got an upside. You need somebody that might, I'm not saying get somebody who's going to be the future because you don't know, but you need somebody who might be the future, somebody who might be the guy to lead this team. Let's try Rock. What's up, Rock?
What's going on?
Sports.
Yeah, man, I was listening, man. That's man, I wouldn't disagree with Brock Osweiler being a good choice, but I really don't see him leaving the Broncos, you know, with them handing him the keys over and with that Super Bowl winning defense. If we get him, that's good. If not, I mean, I know O'Brien has a connection with Hackenberg or might just pick up somebody else or try and trade up. But I think a good sleeper in the draft may be Brandon Dowdy from Western Kentucky that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, listen. First of all, I think Hackenberg sucks. I'm not excited about that guy at all. And I feel like if they draft him now because of the because they think that there's some sort of connection there, I'm going to be very frustrated because I haven't seen much to make me think that. That guy is really worth what they're talking about him, where they're talking about him going.
Right.
That said, you know, I kind of think the Bill O'Brien guy, I mean, he coached him for 1 year.
Yeah. He recruited him. So
what? I mean, let's not act like these guys grew up together and are old fishing buddies. He coached him for a year, and the guy's gotten consistently worse since. And as far as Brandon Dowdy, I like Brandon Dowdy fine. I'd like Brandon Dowdy in round 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at Brandon Dowdy as being a guy who can come in and play football this year. And if you draft him as such, I think you're asking for trouble. Hmm. I think Brandon Dowdy is a nice project guy. I'd like to see what he could do myself. But he played in a spread offense. I'll wait.
And let me do clarify. I still think he's probably going to wind up in Denver, but the fact that he hasn't agreed to anything yet, that he is going to hit the open market, and the Texans were reportedly contacting him, then at least it's a possibility. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. Eugene's, sorry, John said, what did you think about the wipeout in the ostrich race? Man, that was
awesome. That happened?
Yes. There was if you could find it on YouTube, I'm sure it's there. But this chick who was riding the ostrich, I mean, the whole thing just fell right on top of her and like feathers. Oh, it was an awesome crash. Although she was obviously pretty hurt because she limped off.
That's a her problem.
But yeah, if you want to see a good ostrich crash, I'm sure. Well, I think it's on the Sam Houston website. But I'm always amused by things like that. As long as the animal wasn't hurt and the person wasn't hurt too bad, it was funny.
She'll live.
Well, she is going to live, but it's just one of those, you'll appreciate it. Knowing your sense of humor on things,
yeah,
you'll appreciate it.
All right.
And I was trying not to laugh because I was with a bunch of people.
I would have to laugh.
But if I had
no
choice.
You're missing out on the fun.
I had no choice. I had to laugh. What can I say?
All right, guys, going to tell you about my good friends at Deep South Barrels. And it's rodeo season right now. I'm sure a lot of you guys are heading out there for the rodeo. Swing on by. Say hey to my boys over at Deep South Barrels. They're making an appearance out there this rodeo season. You've heard me talking about them. Go meet them for yourself at the Houston Rodeo. They've got a shop set up in the NRG Center. Swing by. Customize your own personal size aging barrel to add to your bar at home. These things are fantastic. I've been using one. I made some Macallan Scotch in there. My dad uses it to age his Crown and make it better. You can take the cheap booze that you're buying and turn it into great booze in just 30 days. And here's the great deal they got going for you now while they're out at the rodeo. Give them promo code Hoffman while you're checking out. They'll give you 10% off your entire purchase. Go find Deep South Barrels within NRG Center at the Houston Rodeo. Get 10% off your purchase by mentioning promo code Hoffman. And remember, it's a local company. They're from right here in Pearland, Texas. They're doing you guys right. Do them right as well. Go out to see them at the rodeo. And once again, use that promo code Hoffman to get 10% off your entire order with Deep South Barrels.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A lot of people asking about our thoughts on Aaron Andrews. That all happened in the 4 o'clock hour. So podcastarena.com, we did discuss that. Let's grab a couple quick phone calls. Tommy, you're on The Blitz. Go.
How's it going, guys?
Sports.
I was wondering if the Texans are willing to trade up in the draft and maybe look at a QB like Carson Wentz.
I think it's a lot to ask. I mean, that's a lot of place to move. It looks like that guy's going in the top five. I don't know if the Texans are going to. I mean, you're giving up multiple drafts to make that happen.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to move up too far. We've talked about that before. I just don't see it happening. But before you start worrying about what they do in the draft, let's see what happens in free agency here. If they go and they invest a bunch of money, if they are able to get a Brock Osweiler and they invest a bunch of money in him, then I don't think draft suddenly isn't a priority. I still think you take a quarterback as a project, but not in the first round. And of course, there's apparently it's all over TMZ that he was involved in some kind of a scuffle at a pizza place where a heckler went after him.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's any big deal.
And he didn't do anything. He didn't hit him back or anything.
Yeah.
So, part of me thinks, oh, that's kind of a bitch move. I would have smashed that dude. But the other thing is, I don't have multi-millions of dollars on the line. And so maybe he did the smart thing by not piecing that dude up.
Yeah. It's always better to walk away, especially when you're dealing with a bunch of idiots. Renato says, what up, big fan of the show, guys. Traffic still sucks though. Yeah, well, sorry about that, but it's 5:35 in Houston. I'll give you your traffic report. Every road sucks, and boy, if it starts raining, it's gonna get worse. So sit back, relax, we'll get you home.
You know what though, I kind of hope it rains, because I feel like this oak pollen is getting out of control.
Yeah,
and you see, you're not dealing with it because your car's in a parking garage. I've got that brand new truck. It's like green.
Yeah, well, I'm dealing with something different because there's all this construction going on in our building, so I'm having to deal with dust now. So I would like a little rain to get the dust off my car, but you know, just
I think once it rains, the oak pollen will go away.
Well, actually, the dust won't go away; it'll just turn into mud, and then I'm gonna have to take it and get it fixed. All right, let's. I'm gonna do this because it can't be any worse than the early tweet calls we had. So we'll go with OU Mike today and see what he has to say. Let's see if we have to ban him again. What's up, OU Mike?
Hey, soul sister, did you get a blister on your hiney on 290? Hey.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Shame.
Yeah, that was rough.
Okay. I'm not quite putting him on the ban list, but
let's just take a break for a while.
Yeah.
It's good that he doesn't call as often.
No.
I still like to hear from him occasionally.
Yeah, because
sometimes he's not awful.
But no, because
that wasn't my favorite.
The one out of four that he hits on makes the phone call worthwhile. And it makes the three failures worthwhile. But that's like four failures in a row, so. And this is over a 6-month span. So I'm starting to worry about you a little bit, OU Mike. You're going to have to hit a grand slam next time, or else we're going to have to reinstate the ban. So we shall see. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Gab's asking, when and where is your next non-studio show? It's a good question. When are we out again, John?
I believe it's Sam Houston Race Park on the 24th? Is that?
Yeah, it's the first weekend of Quarter 25th. Horses.
It'll be the 25th is a Friday because the 18th is a Friday, and that's a Friday I'll be out.
You'll be out on that Friday. So,
actually, they may have to double reschedule that because that's the second weekend of March Madness, and they're seeing if they're going to sell that. So,
okay, right. So we might be out.
The week before we are going to be out.
Okay,
I'll get confirmed where that is.
Okay, people like to know. Maybe it's people who want to come and try to pick a fight with us, like they did with Brock Osweiler.
Yeah,
I'm just going to walk away, just so you know.
Just walk away, bro.
Exactly. I'm too old to fight.
Yeah.
In fact, at this stage, I'm pretty much too old for everything except coming in and doing a show for 3 hours. So, 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people missed it. A couple people said that. They missed what I got to replace the truck. I got a Camaro, and I got made fun of by an old man the other day over it, so, which I still can't figure out. Who approaches somebody and tells them their car's not sensible? I get old people. Okay, this happened to me today, too. I'm in the HEB doing, because I had to go pick up some food and stuff because somehow the wife was too lazy to go do it this weekend. So I went and did it. And I have a list of everything. I keep it on my phone. And HEB has this thing that tells you where everything is, right? So I'm looking at my phone and trying to figure out what I'm buying. This guy goes, "You people and your smartphones. All you're doing is looking at your smartphone." And this is the second time now in 3 days I have an old man say something to me.
Too many people. You're too approachable, I think.
Well, I just kind of turned it around and said, "It's my shopping list, dickweed," and walked off. And what business is it yours if I'm looking at my smartphone while I'm in the HEB? I know when you get really old, because I'm getting there, I guess you feel the need to talk to people, but what the hell do you care what I'm doing? I'm not in your way.
Makes sense to me.
I'm getting freaking paper towels, and it was telling me where they were. What the hell, old people. Oh well, I'm going to make a I'm going to make a promise to you guys.
Okay.
I am not going to be that old guy. I'm not going to be the old guy that goes around telling youngsters, "What are you doing with those headphones on, kid?" If I ever do that, you may kill me. Fake John McClane says, "Should have purchased a LeBaron. Nothing more sensible than that."
Yeah.
Now, if I want to buy a toy, I'm going to buy a freaking toy. It's my right as an American.
Holly Holm came out. She had something to say about her loss.
Yeah?
She said that her loss to Miesha Tate is not the end for me, and she challenged Miesha to a rematch. She on Instagram, she posted a picture of herself getting choked out. And she said, "This is how Saturday night ended, but it's not the end for me. I'm going to train hard and show that I'm better than this. I'm down but not out. Thank you, Misha Tate, for the opportunity last weekend. Well done. What do you say? Let's do this again. Hashtag down but not out. Dana White already said Misha's going to fight Rousey next. So, but I don't know, man. I thought that they should have had, they should let Misha sit out and let Ronda fight Holly, and then the winner fights Misha again.
Yeah. Or you give Ronda more time off and let those two have a rematch, and then she gets the winner.
Too. Although this chick Amanda Nunes, it was also on that card. She looked pretty good too.
Yeah.
She may be getting into that range where she's ready, but.
Dustin, sounds like it. We need to start hashtag if Fred dies back up. 646, maybe you look too approachable and easy to talk to, Fred. Well, I'm always friendly. And
that's your problem.
Well, I guess I need to stop. But then if I'm not friendly, then I start becoming a cranky old person.
It's fine with me.
Nobody wants to talk to.
Fine with me.
Well, I don't understand why old people feel the need to try to tell me how to live my life. You know, I'm a grown-ass man.
Did you read Disco Biscuit's tweet?
I did not see it.
Old man once told me he doesn't know who told me tattoos look good and they made her look like trash. I take that very to heart because Barry Warner called me trailer trash, if you remember.
Maybe it was Barry that said that to Disco Biscuit.
It could be.
So the next time we're out, Christian's Tailgate on March 17th.
Which Christians?
This one will be, I believe it's the one in the Heights, and then the one the week afterwards is going to be the one downtown, the new one downtown.
Oh, I like that one. I was there Sunday. That's cool. Walk to work. All right. There you go. Quick break. We come back. We'll have a gym of the day. And it will not be 290 Woman because we've already talked about 290 Woman. She was bigger than Gym of the Day. She was bigger than...
She's bigger than everything.
She was bigger than the truck she was sitting on.
Damn near.
All right. Very quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Meet the sun. We were shaking from the things we'd done. We were breaking every pattern, straying from the map to make a new life on the run. We were sick.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch out with ESPN 97.5. Each Friday, John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. I think I'm just going to become a hermit and not go anywhere anymore. I'll just stay home.
Sometimes that's the move.
You know, except for when I have to go out.
Do that often.
For work.
I'm a believer in that strategy.
But usually the places I go, there's not old people accosting me because most of my friends are a lot younger than me. But I don't want to be the guy who has to punch an old man one of these days.
It happens.
Anyway. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And for all of you who sent us 290 Lady for this, just we've spent a lot of time talking about 290 Lady, so I just wanted to let you guys know that appreciated you sending it. Not so much the pictures after a while.
Didn't need that.
No, didn't need to see that. But this is kind of different. You use Uber a lot.
I do.
I use Uber a lot.
Particularly when I'm traveling.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, when we're out of town, we use a lot of Uber. But I do it downtown if I've been out too long and had too much to drink. Rather than walk home, I'll just Uber it.
All right.
But here's something you need to watch out for, apparently. A frequent user of Uber is swearing off the company after she says her driver accused her of vomiting in his car to stick her with a $200 cleaning fee, and backed it up with fake photos of the alleged barf. She says she left a late dinner in Manhattan, accompanied by her boyfriend and a friend, and caught an Uber back to their respective apartments. Said the trip ended shortly before 1:30, no muss, no fuss, but that she woke up in the morning to see a $200 cleaning charge tacked onto her $19 fare in her PayPal account without any explanation. After some back and forth with customer service, reps began telling her variations of the driver let us know that there was a mess on the trip resulting in the need for a car cleaning. Which, $200 to clean a car, that's...
I think that's to discourage vomiting in cars.
Well, probably, but anyway, one agent said the driver, a man named Muhammad, recalled her party being drunk. One of the emails also notes that the cleaning fee goes 100% to your driver and includes the allegedly staged vomit crime scene. So she was infuriated. She realized it's actually a scam. At first, she was going to try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but then she realized it went to the driver. So at least one of the three photos appears to show portions of the car in the front seat. She says that she and her fellow passengers were confined to the back. Two, all of the purported puke seems to be confined to easily washed plastic surfaces, mainly floor mats and the plastic of the dashboard and the driver's side door. And there have been other reported instances of alleged Uber vomit scams, including two incidents in Tampa, Florida, of course, that got a driver fired, and another in Los Angeles. And when she uploaded the photos, no time or date was attached to the photos. And, of course, she says neither she nor her companions were drunk.
Hmm. At least that she remembers.
Yeah. Well, I would... There are times when they probably, if somebody told me, dude, you threw up my car, I'd probably be like...
That happens.
I might have. I don't know. I can't remember. So...
Yeah, I'm... I'm that guy, and this is how you know I'm a good friend. I may have told this story before, but my buddy and I went out to see a show, and he was driving. He probably shouldn't have been, but, you know, I wasn't driving drunk, so don't blame me.
Right.
It was his car. Actually, it was his wife's car. And when he woke up the next day, his wife was angry at him because after he had dropped me off, apparently, he threw up and tried to throw up out the window, but some of it went on the side of the car. Some of it went into the back
seat. That's really hard when you're driving and,
right.
and you're moving.
Some of it went into the back seat, apparently. But because I'm a good friend, when she asked him who was driving, he said, me, I already knew. I said she sent me a message on Facebook angry at me, and I said, yep. My bad. Sorry about that.
So you took one for the team.
I took one for the team. She didn't like me anyway.
Oh, yeah. That makes
so
it
that's
easier.
That's what you do, you know?
Yeah.
Well, make it easier on your boy.
You're a good friend.
That's right.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I've got to get rid of this old person magnet that's on me, apparently. That's what it is.
It's because you're one of them.
Well, they think I'm one of them, but I'm not. I mean, I don't... My buddy Larry, who's with 12 Years Driven, sent me the meme, do what the bleep you want, because in the end, people are a-holes and will judge you anyway. That's how I've always kind of felt. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like, I don't care what you think of me, but hey, if I'm on air and... You want to tell me, hey, you said something stupid or whatever? That's cool. I get that. But if I'm in a freaking supermarket getting paper towels and using my iPhone as a shopping list, I should not be accosted by old people bitching about me using a cell phone in a store because I wasn't using the format. I'm just looking at it. It's a list. I do that all the time. If I make lists on the phone, sometimes if there's things I need to remember, I text myself messages so I'll remember them. So, Gary says, way to go, AJ. Now his wife knows he did it. She probably doesn't listen to us. I wouldn't guess. You think she listens to the show?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, 713-780-ESPN. Well, ATX asks, did you almost hit the guy with your cart? No, my cart was parked, which I was out of the way. And this is another thing that kind of drives me nuts, is people in supermarkets that park their carts and then go stand on the other end of the aisle so you can't get by. Because HEBs are pretty small, those aisles. You're supposed to have room to go one side and somebody goes the other way, right?
Yeah.
Well, especially really large, not quite 290 women's size, but they'll park their cart on the right side and then they'll go look at stuff on the left and take up the whole thing. And you just kind of stand there and could one of you move. I just need to get by. Just trying to get some Mr. Clean. What the hell? I hate shopping. I've got to get a wife that'll actually go do this instead of doing it myself. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And we got a lot more to get to, and just an hour left to do it.
If my friend would have been pulled over for drunk driving, he would have deserved it, absolutely. But if you're falsely accused of driving drunk, driving under the influence, you need to know about my guy, attorney Gary Trichter. Listen, law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts with these no-refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. Still hope, even if you failed those tests the police gave you. Remember, the police breath test machine isn't warranted fit for testing on humans. It makes it creates artificially high results, and then it destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. They're not testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. None of these things are going to stick in court if you've got the right attorney to point out the flaws in this science. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's experienced in going to a trial format and handling himself in front of a jury. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, don't just go with some schmo out of the phone book. It's not going to work out well for you. Call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number in your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5.